Right. I call this meeting to order at 5:21 p.m. on August 8th or 12th.
All right, moving to roll call. We'll start with Ashley Jackson.
Present.
Eric Howard.
Present.
Ellen Sisk. Josue Romero. Josue, I believe you unmuted. I believe he said it was present. Okay, Josue, I believe he said, I don't hear him, but I believe he said it was present. Iris Berry? John Dalton? We have quorum. We may proceed.
Right. Thank you. All right. So let's move to item 2, approval of minutes for June 10th and July 8th. The July 8th were sent out, right? My email chain is a little funky for some reason, but it was sent out. Is that right, Abraham? Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was.
Okay, great. Everybody had a chance to review the minutes. Any questions, comments, concerns? So I see you're unmuted, and you weren't able to speak, or you weren't able to hear you during roll call. So I don't know, maybe it's wise to hop off and hop back on. But if you're talking, I just want to let you know it's been working.
I'm messing with the settings, so I'm hoping that it will work. Oh, okay. You can hear me? Okay.
Yep, I can hear you now. Perfect. Thank you. Comments of the, I read them and they look good to me, the minutes.
I just briefly kind of scanned through them. I didn't see anything major. I think there was just one. Let me see, one very small, let's see if I can locate it. But other than that, the gist of it, I didn't see any or have any revisions.
Was the small item like a factual error or was it kind of a more?
No.
Okay.
It wasn't a factual error.
Okay. Great. Well, I think I'm not hearing any other comments about either of them. I think we could make a motion to approve.
I do have a question. Would we have to approve them one at a time, or can we approve them both just through the motion, just stating both dates at the same time?
You can do a motion to approve both at once.
Okay, perfect. Then I'll move to approve the minutes from June 10th and July 8th of 2026.
I'll second it.
All right, hearing a motion in a second, we'll move to a vote. Starting with Ashley Jackson.
Aye.
Eric Howard.
Aye.
Josue Romero.
Aye.
Motion passes 3-0.
Thank you. All right, let's move to the third agenda item, the call to the audience. This time is reserved for members of the public to provide any comments. Do we have anyone on that would like to share anything with the commission? This might be a naive question, but is it possible that we could have visitors and they not show up, or will they always show up on this, like on the screen somewhere, even if they call in or ask to not show up on their video?
They'll show up. So when they access the link through the meeting, they'll show up in this chat.
Okay. Great. All right. I am not seeing then or hearing anybody from the public. Let's move on then to item 4, HRC letter regarding Cesar Chavez holiday update. Belen is not here, so let's postpone this to later in the agenda. And let's go to then item 5, TCE resolution updates. I'll give a quick update on my meeting with Board 3 Councilmember Kevin Dahl and Jonathan Courtney also joined us. And Jonathan is Kevin's council aide from his office. And Daniel Sullivan from the University of Arizona also joined us. And we met on July 29th. It was a good conversation, about an hour long. We met on two topics. This first one, around the TCE resolution. Daniel did share just a verbal update, very similar to what he shared with the commission in May. And Daniel clarified that, again, that health is ultimately a county responsibility. So there are pretty big limitations on what the city can do. He did provide some kind of interesting background information about, you know, just how sometimes temporary funding can be made available during, you know, crisis time, which was back in the 80s, early 90s. And over time that can, you know, that pot of money can run out and would need, you know, different kinds of approval for that for that money to come back in its intended use. So I thought that was helpful background. I did ask kind of what a pathway could look like for a more formal update with the mayor and council about this work, just to keep it on their radar, show progress that's being made. Kevin and Daniel acknowledged that we would need, again, to follow the county process for providing an update. So right now that's kind of, we're kind of in a waiting pattern of when that update could happen. Daniel's been in close contact with them, so I think Daniel's doing the work to see when that could happen. Kevin did provide some insider information about how typically counties provide updates to the city. I think they meet periodically, the Board of Supervisors and the mayor and city council. And in those meetings, the administrator in this way would provide an update, a written update, in a very large packet, typically, the mayor and council have an opportunity to review what's in that packet. Typically health, he said, is in that packet. And unless something is, you know, really, I don't know, dire or something that the administrator wants to elevate on their own, the mayor and council would maybe not necessarily know what to look for, know that it's in there. So if we did get to a point where the county administrator, county board of supervisors did provide an update to the mayor and council on this, we would likely, the commission, me, the subcommittee would get some awareness of that, probably ask for a copy of that update, that written update, and then do our own work to share it individually with the mayor and council and with our council members. We could also, he also brought up ideas if you want to elevate this more, you could do things on social media, you could do like a public statement or engage the media again on this. you know, using what the written update was to, you know, elevate it more. So I thought that was interesting, like I said, insider information about how they typically get briefed on updates like this and how the commission, how we could elevate it more if it gets to that point. So that's where we left things. At this point, we're just continuing to wait to hear from Daniel and others on the working on this to see when the county feels ready to share that update. So kind of continuing to be in a waiting pattern, but I thought it was a good conversation, good connection point with Kevin. Any questions on that? I will say, Kevin, in hearing the progress, community progress, that this helped catalyze. He was really happy to hear it. And he, you know, he was like, you know, oftentimes we do these resolutions. We don't hear the impact that it's had in the community, and just really appreciated the time that we had with Daniel to talk about it with him. So I thought it was a good touch point. Regardless, if there's no questions, I'm going to move on. All right, let's move on to item 6, update from HRC representative to LGBTQ+.
I don't have an update for that commission. That the commission did not meet last month or this month. And so there's no update at the moment.
I'm just curious why they didn't meet it. Did they not get quorum, or are they on recess for a period of time, or?
It would be like recess for this month and last month. Usually it will, take a break for July and August, and then it comes back in September.
Okay. It's good to know if we ever I guess it's just good to know and keep in mind that they do that. Any questions about that? All right, I'm going to move on here to item 7, missing and murdered Indigenous people update. So I would like to just welcome April to this space. Really appreciate you being here. April, would it be helpful for us to maybe do just some quick intros about our, just who we are, our ward, and how long we've been on the HRC, or anything else that you'd be curious about?
Sure.
Okay. So I can start. I'm Eric Howard. I've been chair since, I think, February this year of the commission, and I represent Ward 3. I've been on the commission though for just under 2 years at this point. I moved to Tucson a couple years ago from Minneapolis, so this commission was a good way for me to kind of get to know other people doing justice work, equity work that I've been passionate about. Ashley?
Hi, April. My name is Ashley. Dates are off. I believe I've been on the commission for about a year and a half, if not two. I'm a Tucson resident, born and raised in Tucson. So this is the city that I love, and I'm thankful and grateful that you're here, and I'm excited to hear what information you have for us.
And Abraham and Rick, if you're able to, might be helpful to introduce yourself too, just so they know who you are.
Sure, yeah. My name is Abraham Folks, and I'm support staff for this commission, part of the city clerk's office for the city of Tucson. We help facilitate the meetings and assist in things like that.
There we go. Yes, my name is Rick Guerra. I'm here with the city, Tucson City Clerk's Office, and I'm the secondary to Abe for the HRC Commission and support staff. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Yes, the staff is really helpful in keeping us on track. And Josue and April, I'll just give it over to you.
I'll just start by sharing that I just wanted to share my appreciation for April joining us today. I know like she's still at work, but she's taking the time to join us. So I will pass it over to April so she can share with us. And then I can also share that more after April, or I can share some thoughts as April goes.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk a little bit about the task force. This task force was probably something that we wanted to put in motion probably like 5 years ago, after the city of Tucson and Pima County started pushing out these proclamations. Number one, acknowledging the high rate of missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls in the city of Tucson and within Pima County. And then obviously there was an election. The mayor needed time to get resettled in. Then there was the Board of Supervisor election almost a year after. So it sort of stood still. And, you know, I think the population within, I'm not a Tucson, city of Tucson resident. So I was expressing my frustration with Josue about asking a community organizer that does not live within the city limits of Tucson to come and explain this task force, when this task force includes Pima County and the city of Tucson. And the Tucson Police Department. So, you know, he did have to hear my frustration with these subcommittees that feel like they have some sort of jurisdiction over community organizers that do not live within the city of Tucson. So I want to just kind of get right to the point. There has been a lack of participation from the city of Tucson, Tucson Police Department, and Pima County in terms of actually making real policy changes that are identified in the letter that had been combed over about 6 or 7 times from city of Tucson staff. And so I think we were just kind of getting at a point where we need to get all of the people who actually make the decisions, policy changes within these departments, to give them some training, give them some resources, get everybody in the same room so that they can identify things that are tangible within those jurisdictions. So that's sort of how the Southern Arizona Task Force was created. Obviously, there was no participation from the Pima County Sheriff's Office at all. The city of Tucson barely participated. I think they came in at the very end when we had a listening session. And I think that had a lot to do with the pressure that was being applied by other people. So the task force itself, I'm going to share my screen just so you guys have an idea of something that we put together, and this was formulated with the city of Tucson and Pima County in 2024. So this just basically outlines bringing the stakeholders and the 4 jurisdictions together. Gives it a little bit of background. Obviously, this is not a public task force. because we had already identified what needed to be done, and we just needed to provide more information, resources, and training to those entities and stakeholders so that we could get the ball rolling for the jurisdictions. So a lot of these things had we were able to get accomplished, but the main goal was to get everybody in the room and get everybody talking. I'm looking over some of like the questions in terms of trends and hearing from Indigenous families. I would implore you as the commission to begin building and sustaining relationships with Indigenous communities within your area so that you don't, across a little condescending and, you know, you're asking for an Indian guide 101 and I'm not that one or the two for that. There is no data, which is why these recommendations were put in writing. And then what we also did after that was we got the tribes to provide more information. Obviously, there are some concerns with data sovereignty, extraction of data. So that was sort of one of the things that we, you know, would have to leave up to each jurisdiction to sort of be responsible for, but also highlighting in the data how there are gaps of services. We can talk about like Tucson Police Department, anytime they make a contact with anybody, you know, and they're taking their reports when they're inputting them into their system. A lot of times what happens is Indigenous families, Indigenous people in general, they are, either they're listed as Hispanic or Latin, or they are just Native American. And so, like, what we had suggested was that there would be a drop-down bar to list the 574 tribes within the United States so that in case there was a DOA, that would be and there was prior contact that they would have, they would know exactly who this person belongs to in terms of like their tribal affiliation. So this is just, I'm just kind of trying to get you to see like the bullets for data improvement and community recommendations. These are just sort of some of the ideas that we had come up with of like, how do we show the community, how do we take these gradual steps to ensure that the indigenous population within these four jurisdictions are feeling like there is headway made? Because when we did a poll, I think we did a string poll, like a shop poll maybe in 2024, just before the election, asking constituents and asking community members, like, what are some of the most important topics? MMIW always led that straw poll. So these are just, like I said, these are just sort of those ideas. We actually closed out our task force last week. And I think at the very beginning, all of the jurisdictions agreed that we would, you know, begin moving to each jurisdiction and have those be the hosting sites so that all of the jurisdictions are able to travel and be in those communities. So the last one was held last week. I think it was last Wednesday, actually. And so, is that right, Josue? I don't have my calendar in front of me, but I'm pretty sure it was last week. Or yeah. Was it the week before?
Yeah, it was last week.
Okay, so that was the last one, and that was hosted by Pascoyaki, the Pascoyaki tribe. You know, and it was, again, asking them to take a look at the recommendations that was not only shared by the community, but it's also one of the the ways that we hold them accountable, right? So, for some reason, my mouse is not letting me show this. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to show you the letter from the tribes. So this was held at the Pima County Public Health Center right off of Country Club. The tribes there did ask, like, the chairman himself, he spoke about, you know, these are basically the statements he made to those that were in attendance, acknowledging the hard work of community advocates from Indivisible Thonal Merch Center against domestic violence and calling for the task force. They're grateful for the leadership Pima County and City of Tucson and partnering with the Nation, Pascoyaki Tribe, and community organizations. He talked about the epidemic, the crisis, and persistent silence, the adequate recognition, resources, cooperation. So the task force, you know, it was basically, it basically came down to a commitment to the issue, because obviously I think we're constantly being inundated with acknowledgments, inundated with proclamations, but you don't see any actual policy work or changes being made, like simple things like a missing persons, like a tab on a website for the city of Tucson for missing Indigenous people. We don't see that. We don't see that with TPD. We don't see that with the Sheriff's Department. We don't even know how many of our people are missing in Tucson or within Pima County. So these are just like changes that could be made with in-house that doesn't take too much. And then this was the letter from Pascoyaki. And then just also reiterating the drive, the some of the issues, and asking for consideration in highlighting this information to non-Indigenous populations, like within the city of Tucson and Pima County. But as far as we know, Pascoyaki and Tonaatam are the two jurisdictions that have actually had their officers trained for MMIW. And so I think a lot of times, like even those small, like short trainings on the demographics of people who are going missing and what that means. Because these, and I think too, like these are supposed to be the experts in the field, right? A lot of officers who maybe have been there a really long time don't, what is the word? There's like a word where they just kind of become desensitized, right? So it doesn't seem urgency. So then there's a lack of care, lack of empathy. There's a lack of communication, especially with families, in terms of their missing loved one. And then you, on the other side, like in terms of optics for community, you're not seeing changes. You're not seeing a website update. You know, you're not seeing, you know, how things are. And those are the things, like those are the things that come, that families look for. I mean, and I think that's just human nature, you know, and it may not, it may not be justice for that one individual, but justice looks different to every person. And so we just got to keep putting pressure, applying pressure to these politicians who talk a good game. And, you know, we fast forward 3-4 years later and, you know, we barely get a representative to show up. And apologies after apologies for, you know, not being in attendance or, I think, yeah. And you know, for me, like, I feel like I'm on the cusp of being disgruntled too. because I've been doing this for so long, and I'm not seeing the changes, and I'm not seeing, you know, anything getting better. And I'm like, in terms of policy work, in terms of like how political entities are cooperating with each other or they're not. And so, like, for me, I'm sort of on the cusp of, you know, becoming that disgruntled, you know, hater in the community about not trusting the system. And obviously, that's what we want, right? We want to change the system in a way that people trust it. And so when we don't see these incremental changes, and these are small changes that don't require DOJ funds, that don't require, you know, mass budgets, this basically, you know, I mean, it's things that these things are tangible, they're logical, and they tell families that we're listening. And when you've been doing it for so many years and it doesn't happen, you almost have to, you know, start looking for where it is happening and then throw your resources behind them, throw your support behind them. So we see that in tribal communities. We don't see that in other jurisdictions that have large Native American populations. Number one, they don't even know where the Indians are, you know? And so when you're not developing that relationship with them and you're relying on, you know, the reservation Indians to come and show you where your Indians are in the urban settings, it's a little unsettling. And so, you know, how are we changing the way that we do politics? How are we really meeting people where they're at? Because Tucson Indian Center has set up like a task force themselves that go into the communities where there's a large native populations of people who are houseless. And so those tent cities that are being popping up all over Santa Cruz River, you know, like, are we taking that time to learn that that's actually a thing? And there are, you know, if we don't hear so-and-so hasn't been around, we haven't seen them, okay, Tucson Indian Center will put them on a list. And so when they go back out in 90 days to make sure that the Indians are still out there, have you seen so-and-so? Okay, they've been missing for 90 days. We need to start contacting families. Like, what are we doing to meet people where they're at? And kind of pushing the city of Tucson, pushing Pima County, to be creative in the way that, we change, the way we do politics. There's a huge push for like this communal effort of recognizing that everybody is having a really tough time. And so when you're seeking justice, in the name of MMIW, MMIP, and you're recognizing that the system isn't working, the justice system doesn't look good, the law enforcement, you know, they're not making those changes, you don't know where to throw your support behind. So I also want to preface by saying that the relationship that we have on the Tana of the Nation with TOPD is very different than the relationship that people in the city of Tucson have with TPD. And so, and that has a lot to do with the officers that are on the tribal police force. The majority of them grow up here. They're from here. And so we don't have the same combative relationship that the city. So even that is very interesting, and it's very different from being able to walk in and pump your gas and see the chief of police, you know, having to pump his gas too. That would never happen in the city of Tucson, where you would be able to have a conversation centered around community justice. So when I think of those things, I recognize number one, population is a huge factor in that, but it's also about priorities. And so if you see like the people over here on the reservation are saying this is our number one issue and the police department is not listening, like I don't feel like that will fly here. But in Tucson, you can have that same conversation and the population in Tucson, and you'll have lieutenants and sergeants who show up to these meetings and say, we can't cater to the Native American community. We understand that Pima County identifies this as an issue, and City of Tucson identifies this as an issue, but Tucson Police Department, all lives matter, you know? And so that's frustrating. So we have to figure out where and who we put our support behind. And right now, the way that it looks, it's the tribal communities who are actually doing the work. They're the ones that are working with DPS. They're the ones that are testing out the trainings and the new curriculum that is being updated by the Arizona Post. You know, the Tonantum Nation did not have 911, until like a month and a half ago. So even having 911 accessible to try, like, that's a huge, huge, you know, change for us, and that being like at the top of the list. Having access to 911 and having access to Amber Alert, we don't, you know, you have to apply for those things. So I also think too that that has a lot of considerations need to be made in terms of working with tribal communities. You look at the Tonantum Nation, we have the second largest land-based reservation in the United States. And then our population is sitting around, 36 to 38,000. But then you have the Pozoyaki tribe that has a very small population, and their land base is tiny compared to the amount of land. And even with the land that's being annexed on grant, it's still a drop in the bucket in terms of the areas that they're going to have or cover within their jurisdiction. I think the one thing that's good that is working for both tribal communities is having those IGAs in place. And those are those internal government agreements with the City of Tucson and Pima County that allow them to be cross-deputized. And this is because the jurisdictional issues that all of these jurisdictions have is not having, who gets what case. And instead, before, it was a lot of pointing fingers and having these agreements in place. So I think from what I understand, 2 weeks ago, Laura Conover was, the Pima County attorney's office was looking to hire Native attorneys specifically for this. And I don't know what the City of Tucson is doing, honestly, but that's pretty much, I think I pretty much got all of the questions in that were forwarded to me. In terms of like the current and future priorities of the work, so the Indivisible Tano, we're a grassroots community-based organization, so we focus on state and federal legislation that impacts the Tonantum Nation, but we red flag for the 21 other tribes in Arizona. And so but basically that just means is we pay attention. We pay attention, and our commitment to the Southern Arizona Task Force was to herd in all the cats and get them into one location. And so we did that for a year, and the initial meeting was with Pima County. The second meeting was the City of Tucson. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The second meeting was on the Tonantum Nation. Then it was at the City Hall, and then last week's meeting was with Pozoyaki. So being able to corral all of those people in to have these presentations, outsource resources for them and trainings, I think we've held our end and kept our commitment. We should have our final report. Obviously, this is not public because it's a self-accountability task force. So it's basically, all of the entities were invited. Now, whether or not they showed up is really contingent upon what is a priority for them. So there is a lack of participation from the Pima County, Board of Supervisors. The Pima County Health, Health Department, they're very much interested in this issue and in this topic because they work a lot with a lot of the the people who are unhoused in Tucson and seeing them come through the CDC and the impact that it has on their livelihood as well, and the people that go missing, working with the coroner's office. So it's all interconnected with the health department there. So I think that's pretty positive. Other than that, I don't... how you can help support MMIP efforts? I mean, ask questions. Ask the city of Tucson questions. You know, like, I think, the last, conversation I had with someone was there was a request from, the vice mayor's office for a study session. Lane Santa Cruz has been involved in this since 2024. So if she wants to have a study committee, she can do it her damn self. It should not have to come from the bottom up to do the paperwork when you know this is an issue. It is frustrating, the audacity, to make community file paperwork and go through the process when Lane Santa Cruz has been a part of this since the very beginning. She spoke at the press conference. Like, she got up front and said this was an issue she wanted to champion. And so we're done with excuses. We're done with excuses in, like, why hasn't this been done? Like, they knew. They were sitting at the table. They basically helped us write out what the point system was going to be, what we're looking at. So, yeah, like, there's no more lip service in terms of the indigenous population, especially us, that we uproot, right? We uproot from the reservation to live in the city, and then we become the hunted. And so there's really no room anymore for any excuses of why there is a delayed response that can be thrown at me where I'm like, yeah, no. They were there. I think the only individual who has actually, stayed with it all the way is, Congresswoman Adelita Grijalva. Like, when this issue came up, you know, and she was pushing for Pima County to acknowledge it, you know, she's getting ready to introduce federal legislation for MMIP. Like, this is somebody who has not let this issue go, even though she's no longer part of Pima County Board of Supervisors. And I wish Andres Cano, you know, I know we're talking two different things, Pima County Board of Supervisors and the city of Tucson, but these people all float in the same circles. And they're going to each other's fundraisers. They're going to their same events. You know, like, these individuals are all interconnected. And so, so far, just from being from the res, that's where I see it. Adelita Grijalva, she may not be on the board of supervisor anymore. She's a congresswoman. But she's pretty much kept this issue close to her. And I think a lot of that has to do with applying that pressure while she was on the board. Like, you can't just say, like, you know, like, we gotta do something. So I think we've all sort of witnessed that, and then not really having real support. I think it's a lot of niceties, you know, it feels good, it sounds good, but actually doing the work, that's not happening. I don't know if you have questions for me.
I was just going to add a few things just because I think it's important to share with the group. I'm getting, like, chills because everything you named, April, are things that, you know, that the community is sharing. And so as the commission hears it, I think it's important for us to acknowledge it, to sit with it, especially the discomfort of it, because this task force came out of the city and the county. You know, mm-hmm. It was a project of something that they wanted to establish on May 5th. and May 5th is National Missing and Murdered Indigenous Peoples Day. And so I know in my conversations with community members, what I've heard at the two task force meetings that I attended, what I've heard at the MMIP walk, is that the Indigenous community feels like they're a talking point for politicians or for elected officials when it's an election year or the year before the election year. And so in 2023, when the task force was established by mayor and council and the board of supervisors, they all came out and said how committed they were to the issue, to the crisis. And in the task force meetings that I have attended, these elected officials do not show up. And when they send some of their staff to it, their staff have no context. They don't know the work of the task force. And so when April says that the task force is a self-accountability, like it's self-driven, like every agency, every jurisdiction that is part of this task force all have like roles that they are have committed to looking at how do they make Tucson, Pima County safer for Native communities. Because as I shared when we drafted the letter, like the impact of that epidemic, of that crisis here is disproportionately impacts Native communities and other areas. I'm trying to remember, it's like 3 and 4. Three in so what one of the things that stick out to me is that for the last few ones that I've attended, it's always someone new who goes to represent like the mayor or the vice mayor. And when it comes to the city providing an update, the only thing that's ever shared is that this is my first meeting. I was just told to come. And then at this last one, I know folks in the space were frustrated that the only update that the city gave at this last meeting after 3 years of this task force was to say, if you want to know what the city is doing, you have to request it through a study session and you have to fill out paperwork and go through this process. When this task force is a city task force. It was a task force formed by the city and the county. And it's kind of like something that feels for a lot of communities or a lot of individuals I spoke to, that it was something that was just put, that was like, we have this election coming up. We're going to come out. This is an issue. We're going to wear red. We're going to hold photos of missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and family members to say that we support this. And then they've kind of have gone silent. And I know that like, I just want to share it again because you could see the frustration in the room this past week when it was communicated that if the task force, which again is part of it, is a city and county task force, wants to inquire about anything, they have to do it through appropriate channels and through a request of a study session. And as that happened and the way it was shared in the space, very like red tape of it, made people in the room very upset, very frustrated. And this was said on like at the, on tribal land, like, and so I just want to share that piece because it has been frustrating to like, and I am not a Native person, but I've attended these task force meetings and I have felt the frustration. I've seen the frustration in people's eyes as they've talked to me, as I've heard them share their stories. And so the task force committed for 3 years. It just ended. And it, for a lot of Native folks, it's just felt like a lot of, as April said, lip service. And I will say that, it has continued to come up. And I just wanted to share that because I know, like, as you hear April and you and as and she shares her words, her wisdom, like her experience so far, I want us to keep that in mind, that this has been over, has been 3 years, over 3 years. 3 years was just the official task force run, but this started before then. And then when it came to like the commitment of that work, there was a lot of like no follow through to that. And so I just wanted to name that so you all are aware of the frustration in the community, and not just heart frustration, but the heartbreak of that, that like a lot of this work was done by tribal communities to push this through. And it has fallen on like on deaf ears, and it's very heartbreaking. And so I just wanted to name that part because I think it's important for us to understand as we move through next steps. And I will say this, I think I heard that this work here locally, like April and IT, Invisible Tohono and others have been doing this for 10 years. And so here we are 10 years later, 3 years of the task force. And it seems that a lot of the labor and work that they have put in has no follow through or like no true commitment. And so I just wanted to name that so we could sit with that and feel or try to feel the frustration, the anger, the heartbreak that Native communities are feeling.
Thank you. That's really helpful feedback about just the process and what you've been experiencing. And April, thank you for being here and sharing your experience and wisdom. I want to keep us moving forward here. And I guess my main question for both of you is, or maybe just a clarification. So the HRC passed a letter to the Mayor and Council asking for an update about this work. So I don't have the letter in front of me. Do you recall, Josue, what were the action items in that report, and does it sync up with what we're hearing are the priorities and what you're asking for from the Mayor and Council? Because I think like and I'm curious too if you've heard anything from the anybody from the Mayor Council office or anybody else from your the council member about that letter and kind of where that stands right now.
I am looking for the letter. I know I have it saved. And as I'm searching, I'm not finding it.
So just to recap, you're saying that the task force is a county and city task force that was established in 2023. It just ended. And there's a lot of work that's gone into that work from Indigenous communities. And that work is not being acknowledged. It's falling on deaf ears. I'm trying to understand where our letter currently sits and how we can, because that right now is the biggest leverage that we have as a commission, right? Moving that letter along, making sure that it's getting to the right people. And, you know, we can be as helpful as we can to move the action points in that letter along. I'm just trying to recall what were the action points there.
Yeah, I think there were requests around what the city has implemented since the establishment of the task force. If Tucson Police Department has incorporated training on the implementation of the turquoise alert. There was a call to receive like an update on what ongoing collaboration there has been with tribal nations, Indigenous-led organizations, and some of the and impacted families, and then what improvements to data collection has have been established to track some of the outcomes, or just the different things that the city addressed as an issue that they were hoping that would be addressed. And I think that that's the thing. And I think at one of our meetings, we talked about, each commissioner reaching out to their ward office and asking them to respond. I reached out as a follow-up to mine, and they shared that there would, that some officers have taken the training, and that they would share something in the future. However, when TPD showed up at the task force meeting last week, they shared that they don't provide those records. They can't provide individuals' training records, which is not what we asked for. It was just like, have folks taken this training? And they just kept saying that they can't tell us which officer or individual training records for officers. And so to me, it kind of, the one that happened in May or April, that it came up again, or it had come up then around the training piece. And there was no like communication off if officers have taken the training, which, it is a state alert. Like it's a system that was developed for the state. For like coordination protocols or procedures to be able to find vulnerable Native individuals, and I think that there hasn't been any of that either, and so I think my thought, the work of the commission as a next step, is to probably for each commissioner to like reach out to their ward office and see how we could bring about that study session and us kind of moving that forward instead of asking Indigenous communities to go through that process when this was a City of Tucson, Pima County task force. And that's just my initial thought, but I don't know what you all think or if, but that's what my initial thoughts are at the moment.
Yeah. Okay. So to recap, the letter has been, have you gotten receipt that the letter has been received and acknowledged?
I do know that it was received, okay. That each of them received it.
Okay. Each of the council members and the mayor.
Yes. I don't know if any of the council members or the mayor moved on it. I do know that it was received because at the, not this last task force meeting, the last week, but the one back in April, or early May, I think it was April. One of the representatives, I believe it was a representative from the mayor's office who attended, and they referenced that a commission had sent them a letter.
Okay.
And then that was the last kind of thing. And then I followed up, afterwards. I was just told that, more information would be coming, or would be shared, and it has not. But I believe that is because, they were planning to come to this final meeting to say that, to refer the task force to request a study session.
Oh, and interesting. Okay.
As it was, and I think, and I just want to say it again, because I think, the frustrating part is that the task force was created to help the city, and now it's being treated as something separate. As like, you have to go through this red tape as anyone else would in the community. And the ones I attended, there was no involvement from the city. And I only went to the last two. And when I say involvement, like, there was no updates. There was nothing that could be shared from the city besides, this is my first meeting. I was just told to come, right, last night or the day before or this morning. There was three other ones before that. And I don't know if they went to that or if they were engaging in those. But I can say the last two that were held, I was had the privilege of attending, and I could see the disappointment of the community, of tribal folks who were in the space, and the advocates who are helping the families navigate through their healing and supporting them. To sit in a space, to just be told that there's no update or there's nothing to share.
Yeah, no, it's frustrating. It is frustrating. So your recommendation is to ask us as commissioners to directly follow up with our council members who appointed us and asked them to try to, like, asking what would be the next step for a study session around this, a study session examining the action items in the letter that we sent them. Let me guess what their recommendation is for each of those action items in that study session.
Correct.
Okay. And you've already done that with, we haven't asked about the study session, but you've just gotten confirmation from your council member that they've gotten it. You've been waiting for more information, hasn't come out. You're not sure why. So I'm happy to do that. Get this on my council person's radar. I don't recall, and maybe Rick and Abraham can chime in here, what is the protocol for us requesting a study session? I know that we asked for a study session on the TCE resolution, and they asked for an expert to join them to talk about the resolution background. And we brought Daniel into that space. I'm trying to recall, is that something that we had to do as a commission, or is that something that the council member had to do, bring forward as a recommendation for a study session?
So that's something that's handled by the council member when you recommend that to them.
Okay. I guess what is the difference between us individually all at once contacting our council person to ask that versus you, Josue, asking directly your council member who appointed you to do that same, for that same request?
I think what comes to my mind initially is, because I could go to my council member and request it and then see if she would be, would draft like a memo to request that study session. But I also feel that, it would be important for the other council members to know what their community is feeling, and in a way, that highlights the urgency. I think it's important for them to also hear it from you all too, to push it forward when they see it come through their, I don't know what the process is once my council member submits the memo, if the other council members have to agree on it or if it just gets added. I don't know what that process looks like. But I think if the other council members are aware, and understand, how the community is feeling, I think, we can get that scheduled sooner than later.
Yeah. I guess I'm just trying to figure out what the letter itself, which has landed in each of their inboxes, that is what you're saying, is our unified voice to say you need to pay attention to this. So I'm trying to make sure that this strategy of going individually actually adds momentum that you're looking for, additional, right? And I could draft
another letter, just to follow up and then formally request the study session. And then we can send that on behalf of the commission, and then I can follow up with my council member, or, we could do it that way. I'm also wondering, once it goes out as the commission chair, or chairperson, that you could reach out to your council member in that way. But I'm happy to draft something, or to even just reach out to, I will plan on reaching out to Ward, 6, and will, ask them about, what that process looks like, and if they need me to formally request it through a letter. I can start there. My only, concern with that is that it delays everything for another month until we come back together in September, and then vote on it then.
Right. And I mean, I don't know if we would need to approve a letter like that necessarily. I mean, if it's coming from, are you saying that you would want me as the chair to sign it, or are you saying that you as the person who was appointed would write that and send it to your council person?
Well, the letter that I was referencing just now would be similar to like the one we did in March. I found the letter. So we sent it in March, so it's dated March.
Okay.
And so, and then what we did is I drafted it, we voted on it, and then we signed it as the commission. And then it went out.
I don't know. Ashley, do you have any questions, feedback on where, or ideas? I feel like if we did like a decentralized strategy, like you're saying, where, you know, we're each reaching out, and I think like that coordination itself would take a month. And, you know, to ask us to do all that, that's assuming we actually do that work in between this meeting and next. So I don't want to, to your point, I don't want to delay it any further than, and I could see that being potentially a little delayed strategy if we do that. I feel like what has worked for me in the past is to reach out directly to my council person. And you know, you can ask for a meeting with them, right? Whether that be on Teams or in person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, brief them on the situation. You know, that's what I did with Kevin on the last TCE update, right? And, it takes sometimes a little while, but that might be the most effective, where you can kind of know, hear from them where they stand on this, and they can hear from you the urgency behind this. You know, when I met with Kevin, he's just like, I get so many emails. It's just like, we want to make every interaction with council people, you know, brief, concise, and, you know, clear about what we're asking them to do, and easy for them to take the action to do it. And so I'm wondering if, like, you could reach out, and I'm happy to work with you offline to, you know, maybe fine tune this a little bit more too. But, you know, I think I could even co-sign something with you as chair, with your council person, you know, as you're saying, asking for this request for a study session, and leaving it open too, that if they have another idea that feels more effective, they can go that route, but that this is something that, you know, you really feel deserves that kind of attention. You know, offer up a, maybe somebody else, if you think it's effective, to come as a subject matter expert into that study session, you know, to talk about the matter a little bit more, in depth, if they choose to do that. I feel like that's going to be the most quick, efficient way to move forward. I don't know, Ash, if you have thoughts, or Sway, we're a little thin on attendance tonight, so otherwise I'd be asking them, we get a little bit more input from diverse voices here.
Yeah, I can reach out to my council member and then see what how we can move this forward in that way.
Yeah. Would it be helpful? So I can look up a little bit more what the process we used for the TCE thing was, and I could follow up separately in an email. Are we able to communicate? Yes, I think we can. And can I maybe give you some talking points for that? And maybe a little bit more of some, like I said, some action items that we did on the TCE thing to get it on their study session agenda, and go about it that way.
Okay.
That's, I mean, nothing. Session as a strategy, I think, could work. I don't know enough about, like, other potential angles you could take, but I do know the study session and TCE was an opportunity for people to get educated on the issue, and it also the idea needs to be championed by a council member. So if the council member is on board with wanting to put that on there, unless they get very new intel from other people, I don't know if, you know, I feel like it probably has to get approved for the study session to be on there, but I think if a council member wants it on there, I think it would be hard to remove it. So that's why I'm like, where is your council person on this? Could they champion this? Could they, you know, and if they're not a champion yet, maybe they're neutral. What other information would they need from you, to get to, you know, being more of a champion on this? That's why I thought maybe a meeting with them, might be also an effective way to communicate out what, you know, you're sharing with us, and get them to be motivated to put this on a study session.
Yeah, if you can share that, then I will do that.
Okay. Yeah, and I'll think a little bit more to like how to get it, because I know it take like with the TCE stuff, it was effective, but I was like always on them. I was calling every week. I was emailing. I was texting. Like, it takes tenacity to get on their radar and keep it on their radar. So I just, with this stuff, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you're not hearing back, but you just got to keep on it. It's tough, but to make progress, it's like you just kind of got to keep it going. All right. So any other questions? Thoughts? I'm going to try to keep us moving here to the next agenda items. Thank you, April. Appreciate you and your work. I know it's long and hard. And thank you, Sway, for what you shared and bringing April into this space. We'll continue to work on this and pull the leverage that we have as a commission. All right. Let's move on to item 8, HRC and Pima County partnership update. Ashley, I might let you go first here. I know that you had a chance to meet with your council person on potential partnership with Pima County. So I was curious how that went, and then I can kind of share what my conversation was like with Kevin.
Yes, so I met with Paul Cunningham as well as one of his staff board members on the 17th of July. We had kind of like a lunch meeting, but he was very interested and invested in the idea of joint commission. Can you all still hear me?
Now you're kind of cutting out.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, perfect. So he was very interested and invested in the idea of a joint commission. He believes, and April had made mention to this about City of Tucson and Pima County floating in the same circles as far as events and conversations and communications. And so he really believed that, yes, this should be a regional kind of joint commission. And I believe even just the conversations we're having would be more fruitful, or we might be able to get more things accomplished having somebody, you know, as a representative of Pima County alongside us. But he was very interested, and he said he would help to champion it. One thing he did mention was that we would need to start with finding a committee or a commission that doesn't necessarily have to align to the T, because in my research, looking at the commissions and boards for Pima County, nothing or no commissions were kind of the same as our mission or the vision that we have. So it would be starting with, and what he suggested was start with finding a committee or commission that generally aligns with what it is that we're doing, that we could suggest or say, you know, maybe we can combine forces. And so he did have a lot of other ideas about wanting to get different people in the same room to have different conversations. So in that same effect, getting that joint commission would help with that. But he did direct myself or the commission to write something specific to his office, and or, you know, if it needed to be written as well to Kevin Dahl, but concerning that collaboration. So what we talked about, just having something written, that way we could get it to them. He said he knows it might be frowned upon, or that's not the way they typically want us to maneuver or do it. But he said, please do that so that we can get something going, because he would very much champion the idea of a joint commission.
The technicality of starting something like that. I mean, you said a letter, but like, what would be his next action item on?
Well, of course, ours as well as his. He would help kind of align or find, help us to align and find and kind of create that joint. That joint commission with whatever it would align with on Pima County side.
Right.
So that was his biggest thing, was we need to find a commission that is both willing, but also aligns with what it is that we are trying to do, or some of the issues that we're talking about, some of the things that we're wanting to do, that are beyond just the city of Tucson. So that was a point that he wanted to make within that letter as well, that would go to his ward office.
Okay. All right. So it would basically be merging with another existing Pima County commission and figuring out what is the right entity that we would be merging with.
Correct. Because I don't believe he in our discussion, and while sitting there, he was kind of looking through. I will have to go back and look. I remember him stating specifically some boards, but that was the goal of not creating a new one from Pima County, because that process might be a whole nother issue of having to create a board from scratch, but maybe finding one that aligns with what it is that we're doing. So.
Okay. And that would be in our letter, what we would need to do, like what we would be asking for in the approach. Would he put his staff on helping us figure out what the right other commission would be, or how much of our would we be in doing the legwork?
My belief is that his staff would be heavily involved, just because even at the meeting, one of his staff, his ward staff, Chris Desborough, was there and really engaged too. So I know he's also willing to support and find that that Pima County Commission or board that aligns.
Interesting. Okay. Well, Kevin was very supportive also of the idea. His angle was a little different. He didn't really explain like how it would work, like what you were sharing, that Cunningham had some imagination about. Kevin was more like, you know, it could be a lot of work to establish this. And maybe Kevin was thinking to have to create a new commission with the county, and was like, that takes a lot of work. Is that really a priority that you want to do as a commission? And name some other things that, you know, the commission, the HRC could do to kind of meet similar objectives. But, you know, basically, I don't know if you know the term, is the juice worth the squeeze, right? So, is the benefit going to outweigh the work that, it would be needed to take this together? But if Cunningham, you know, is willing to, I like that idea of merging, and to kind of explore this with the staff and kind of champion that, you know, Kevin was like, if you want to do it, I'm going to be in full support. You know, you do you. I like this idea generally, but just again, wanting to make sure that, you know, we had the ambition and, the energy to do that work. I mean, hearing from you and hearing just the topics that have already come up tonight about, you know, the MMIP work, just everything just totally intersects with Pima County. And I do think that this is a good pathway to go. Kevin did mention if we do send a letter to Cunningham, he would appreciate also receiving that letter. I don't know technically if it would be a letter to Cunningham that Kevin is CC'd on, or is this a letter to both of them asking the same thing? To take the same actions. You know what I mean?
Right. Maybe we could address it to Cunningham and CC Kevin Dahl, because I am under the impression, just speaking with Councilmember Cunningham, that he is willing to kind of champion and move this forward too in making this a kind of regional committee or kind of breaking those boundaries. So if you're in agreement, I think addressing it to Councilmember Cunningham and including Councilmember Dahl in that is a good route.
Okay. Yeah, I think that makes good sense that this is Cunningham's work, but you know, Dahl likes it in writing, he said. So and has a heads up, and I've already heard from him. He likes the idea. So let's go about it that way. Yeah, because my questions were like, oh, what is the charter? What's the kind of mission? And presumably that would be the work of Cunningham staff to figure out, you know, if we were to merge, would there be a new charter that's created? And, you know, well, I guess it would be. And, you know, I think generally too, it would be good for as things move forward, if we do identify a Pima County. Nothing, like you said, is really, you know, apples to apples, but at least if it's in the same ballpark, maybe meeting with them, maybe it's you and I, we could meet with a couple representatives or join one of their commissions, right? That I'm sure they meet regularly and just get a sense for their work and, you know, if it could be a good fit. So, you mentioned in an email that you would be willing to draft a letter to Cunningham with some of this. Does that still feel like something you're able to do? I can help review it. I'm not sure if the commission would need to. Like, is this a letter coming from you as somebody who was appointed by Cunningham? Or is this a letter coming from the commission?
That I might want to ask Abraham, just because I know also in our meeting, what they were doing is meeting with a lot of those who are appointed by their ward office, specifically in different committees and commissions. That was one of the things that they were doing is showing their appreciation through a lunch or something. So I'm not sure if it's direct, if it's associated with the HRC or if it's just me coming as a representative or representing that specific ward. Maybe we can get some guidance from Abraham or Rick.
So for that, not necessarily. So if you're going just as, you know, on your own, it's not necessarily representative of the HSA unless you're going on their behalf. If that makes sense.
It does make sense. And I did go because we had discussed the possibility of a joint commission. I believed, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, I went on behalf of the HRC to bring that idea to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it should be fine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that sounds like it should be fine. As long as there's... Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's Ashley, as somebody who's appointed by Cunningham, is bringing this letter on behalf of the HRC.
Correct. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Correct. That.
I like that idea. I don't want to delay, you know, things for another month just so the HRC can approve a letter that you could do just as effectively. You know, you're welcome to send the letter to me. Are we able to do that?
Yeah. If I can, I'll send that to you for your review.
Okay. Yeah, and then I guess if you're bringing it on behalf of the commission, would that then be a letter that you sent to Abraham and Rick to put on our letterhead? Right, to make it a little more formal and make sure it goes to his office and CC Kevin?
If you're wanting to send it on behalf of the commission, yes, it would go through our office. If, for example, you wanted to co-sign, or if Ashley wanted to at least keep you in the loop as chair of the commission, to keep you in the loop as well.
Yeah. Let's do that. I'll co-sign it with you, Ashley, rather than just be CC'd on that. I think that works as chair and as someone who's appointed, and then Ward 3 council person is also kept apprised. Sway, do you see any value in also adding your council person? You do want to just keep it on the strategy?
I think we can add her, and when I reach out to her to talk to her about the MIP stuff, I can bring it up. Just because if I'm meeting with her, I could just try and do both at the same time.
Okay. I mean, and this does dovetail into that, right? I mean, it's a regional issue as an example. I've been using the TCE as my example, and I think you have also something that you can bring to that. Try to think if that muddies the water at all. I don't think so. I think if we just draft the letter aware that Kevin has already had a conversation about this, but not Westway's council person yet, I think we can draft a letter that's could make sense. What do you think, Ashley?
I agree.
Okay. Well, let's plan to do that. But we'll just... Kind of see if, or think if it makes sense for Josue to co-sign as well, then if it's going to his council person. I could see either way. Let's, I don't know. Let's keep it as it is. Let's just CC Josue's council person and actually, you know, co-sign. I think that makes good sense. And we'll just know that Josue, when it, you meet with your council person, you'll bring the additional context as needed. No further questions. Thank you, Ashley. That's great. You're able to get the support, and thank you again for meeting with Cunningham. You know, it was in person, and you took time of your day and week to make that work and happen. So I'm excited about this. I think this will be a really good opportunity for us moving forward. All right. Let's move on here to Tucson, the item 9, Tucson Police Department data review. We don't have John on, and John was going to do some follow-up. I think there was demographic reports related to Tucson Police Department data, and then also I think there were some other previous diversity and recruitment reports that John was going to bring up and mention here. So I don't think there's really much to say about this. The only thing that I would maybe add in light of the MMIP discussion about this, one of the ideas that John brought up was in this category was, in the past, we've toured the Tucson Police Department. And in our last conversation, I recall the commission was like, you know, well, I said, I'm not a data analyst. I couldn't tell you if the data, how to make a lot of sense of the data. We do as a commission pay attention to data that includes demographic information. And I think what I'm hearing from the MMIP stuff, that there's very essential demographic information that is left out of the report that we saw. And so I'm wondering if another angle here, or maybe more sharp angle here in our work around this police data review, is to be a little bit more intentional about or asking questions related to the outcomes of the MMIP work directly to the Tucson Police Department, as it relates to generally, you know, demographic data needed. So I think we can continue to, you know, I'll ask John, hopefully he's on next month, to ask, you know, get these demographic reports that he was going to pull up. I'll add this in text as well to my follow-up email to John, and see also where just generally there's maybe more work we could push them on as it relates to MMIP goals. How does that sound? Does that kind of make sense?
It's
so hard. Okay. What are your thoughts, Josue? You know that what I said just kind of impacts what was discussed earlier.
Yes. Sorry. I didn't realize I muted myself, but yes, it makes sense to me.
Okay. So as we keep this on the agenda, I'll just invite you, and I'll keep this also as we orient how we want to, you know, engage the Tucson Police Department. I think MMIP is kind of in my close purview, but also generally there needs to be more demographic data. And actually, Kevin Dahl did. He was like, "What else are y'all working on?" I'm like, "Well, we're working on this too, the MMIP stuff." And he did say that there. As it relates to Tucson Police Department, there is a name, and I did write it down, that he encouraged me slash us, like their data person, city data person, to get in touch with them, that And he said, feel free to use my name as Kevin to say, been in touch with Kevin around this topic and would appreciate some additional demographic information, police data. So I'll pull up that name and in my follow-up email, Josue, I'll share that information with you and just kind of continue to connect the dots here.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. Let's move on to item 11, vacancy and advisory positions. I got the roster. It looks like the mayor position is still open. John is hoping to be appointed by the mayor. John's term expires in September. Wow, that's next month. So if he doesn't get appointed by somebody, he's going to have to rotate off, I believe. And then we have a new council person, Ward 1, Zhang, Campbell? Is that the last name? So that'll be nice to welcome Zhang next month, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Ward 4 is vacant because, Cedric is now advisory. Then we have two non-voting advisory members. Did I say anything wrong? Rick or Abraham, does that align with your...
I believe that we have, since Cedric took a position as non-voting, I believe it's one vacancy for a non-voting advisory position.
Okay, thank you. Right. Move on to item 11, chairperson and commissioner summary of current events. Nothing is coming to mind for me.
I think what comes to mind for me in the moment, it's just things that are happening, like not here, but like in the United States, and what comes to mind in the moment, I think about the continued loss of life of Black youth, and particularly Black men, and I think about Nolan Wells and Trey Reed. And the young Black men who keep losing their lives and the young Black women who keep losing their lives and are being found, lynched in like, in areas like, and there's been, I'm trying to remember the amount, but in the last few months, there have been so many young Black men and women and youth who have lost their lives to racial violence. And so I just wanted to also say that, like, in the conversations, as their families are seeking justice or seeking answers, these Black youth and adults who have lost their lives are being denied their innocence. They are, And I think where the folks are so quick to extend that, society is so quick or readily extends that innocence to like white children or white youth who are believed to have had some role in the death of this black individual or these individuals. And so I just want to name that racial violence and the centuries of it, and how its echoes remain in our schools, our healthcare, our legal systems, media in our everyday conversations. And what I keep seeing happening online, and like, and around is how we as a society tend to describe a black child as they are an adult while referring to white children as simply kids. And how that reveals our society's biases, that we have inherited. And so I just wanted to name that because, the black community keeps losing members, its members to racial violence. I also keep seeing, how violence in communities are impacting survivors of domestic violence, and how resources are becoming less available for some marginalized communities. And so I just wanted to name those things because I feel like every time I turn on the news, or I read what's happening throughout the United States, these things keep coming up where a new person has lost their life because of racial or transphobia or just violence in general. And so I just wanted to name that in this space.
Yeah, thank you. Any other updates? Great. We will move us along here to item 12, future agenda items.
I just thought of something, if I can. Mm-hmm. Share. I wanted to briefly mention the Cesar Chavez like holiday update, but also the murals. I just thought about a conversation I had recently, and I think that it might be our next, like, how we proceed with that piece.
I'm sorry to cut you off. So I realized that we did not loop back around to that topic with Belen, not here. Can I, just so that we stay within our parameters of, I guess Robert's rules, can I, move then that we talk about that item right now and then we can go ahead and ask Kosway to make comment on that?
Yes, you can do that.
Okay, let's do that. Let's officially talk about that agenda item. So I'm sorry to cut you off. I just wanted to be technically correct here. Go ahead, Jose.
I'm trying to remember the name of the commission, but there is an arts commission for the city. They are leading the piece around the murals, around town. And so I had a conversation with a commissioner from that commission at one of the Word 5 meetups where they invite, like, folks in the community to come together. And it's the Public Art and Community Design Committee. I believe that's what it was. But in conversation with someone, I found out she's on that commission. And she shared that commission has a subcommittee that is leading that piece. And so I'm wondering if our best next step is to reach out to that commission and offer our support.
Hey y'all, can you hear me?
We can now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I got somehow cut off. I think I don't know what's going on. Could you share what was the last just kind of few sentences you had there, Josue?
I was just sharing that it might be our best next step, or our next step might be to reach out to that commission and offer our support, since they are already having those conversations around the murals, are kind of have taken on that piece of that. And so that was my thought, was about instead of just so we move that piece along, it might be reaching out to that commission versus sending the letter to Mayor and Council.
Mm-hmm. So, Belen's letter, I thought we voted to send the letter, approve the letter with the edits, and it looks like Belen sent the letter with the edits, and I then just presume that it hasn't been sent. So, it's just a clarifying point that I had. I feel like I would want Belen here to comment on that strategy. Like, the letter came in with the edits, and I don't think it's also a little distorted, the letter, so I don't know if it really captures all of our edits. So I don't know if it's something that I didn't feel comfortable passing it tonight without Glenn here again. I guess my proposal would be to not do anything with the letter tonight, and What is the commission name? Did you say?
It's the Commission on Arts or something. I'm trying. Give me 1 second. I can pull it back up.
So, because the letter was. The objective of the letter is to ask Mayor and Council to keep us apprised of this work. And if there's a commission that's already doing this work well, I think it kind of meets that objective. Based on what I know, I don't know, Dylan may have other thoughts on that. I like that idea. I don't know the work that they're doing, and I don't know how best we could tap into that, but would that be something that you would be nominating Belen to be working with that commission on, and seeing where there are ways for us to complement their work?
Um I think if Berlin wants to, we can nominate Berlin. But I think if even just reaching out and just offering our support, they may already be further along in things.
Right. How about send me the name of the commission and I'll look them up and I'll get in touch with their chair and I'll send their chair an email and, you know, just name that this has been on our agenda item topic and kind of what we have and, you know, some of our ideas that we've been thinking about. And, I can get a sense from their chair, you know, if it could, if there are ways to, you know, maybe collaborate and I can bring an update, to this commission next month about that. And then hopefully Berlin would be there to hear that update. And, you know, we can decide hopefully with Berlin there if or how we want to send the letter and if or how we want to coordinate with the commission. What do y'all think about that?
I'm in agreement with that.
That sounds good, because I want to continue to make progress on this effort, and I think that's a good tangible way for us to make progress while we're still waiting on the finalization of the letter, and at this point to see if that's really the most effective strategy, just given the time lapse and, you know, the landscape is kind of continues to change. Okay, I will do that. Also, do you want to be CC'd on that letter, the email to the chair? I mean, I would mention that you went to a gathering with them there and had this idea.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, and then if they have follow-up questions, you're at least CC'd on that. All right, now let's move on to item 12, future agenda items. Seeing anything we need to add. I think we can continue to keep the items that are on open. And you always have, I think you all have the ability to contact me before meetings and tell me if there's something that you think needs to be added. Great. Let's move on to item 13, adjournment. Thanks for hanging in there. Do we need a motion to adjourn?
No, you don't.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you all for your time. Appreciate you. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Have a good evening, everyone.
Have a good evening. Bye.
Thank you.